Hallelujah. Amen. Welcome into the presence of God. Amen. It doesn't matter that you're a bridge of hope. That doesn't matter. What matters is that you are in the presence of God. And that's what counts. Amen. We have several preachers here today. One came all the way from Canada just to be with us. Isn't that nice? We got Herb Anderson back here. It's so good to have him. He and Treva used to work together. And so it's great to have him. We have Brother Vine with us today. It's great to have Brother Vine. Amen. Love it when we have ministers. Probably every one of them is a better preacher than me, but you're stuck with me, so that's okay. Turning your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3. Just got a couple of announcements for you, and Denny will make more of these as we leave. But we have a men's breakfast this next Saturday. Helping Hands is Friday, our day to help Helping Hands is Friday. So if you don't mind doing something, we would ask that you do something for Helping Hands. It's the one way that we can help our community and help the agencies that are helping people, and we want to do that. Also, next Sunday during Sunday school, that's at 9 o'clock, we're going to teach a membership class. We haven't done that for a year, so if you're not a member, we would encourage you. Just attending this class does not make you a member, but it will give you the information that if you seek membership, you can go forward with it. We like for people, quite honestly, membership is not mentioned in the New Testament. It's sort of a man-made thing, but there's lots of people that come to church. Membership says, I believe in the vision of the church, and you can count on me. I'm going to help you, I'm going to support you, and I'm going to work. And so, if you're of that mindset, you need to know what you're signing up for. You need to know what we believe, where we're coming from, and what our vision is. And our name says it all. We're a bridge. We're a bridge for this community to go from darkness to light, and sometimes just to go from religion into relationship. I find that's more of the bridge that we're actually crossing. So, amen. So we're in Philippians chapter 3. Did I mention? Yeah, Helping Hands membership and the men's breakfast. So that membership class will be back there where Roy teaches his class. And so we'll be there. So this is the second part of the sermon that I brought to you last week. I titled it Reckless Abandonment. Reckless Abandonment. And this is a challenging portion of Scripture. And it's where every believer ought to be going. And so I encourage you, stay with me today. Try to glean from this what the Lord is saying. So let's pick it up with verse 7. Paul is writing through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He says, but what things were gained to me, these I have counted lost for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and being found in him, not having my own righteousness which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I've already attained or I'm already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind me and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Father God, we just come before you today. Lord, we're so thankful for your presence that's already in this room that we have felt. Lord, we have exalted your name and you have done exactly what your word says. You have drawn us closer to you, Lord. Lord, you are the center of attention today. Father, we only have eyes for You. We only want to look upon Your beauty, upon Your face today. I pray, Lord, that revelation, knowledge of Your Word will flow like water in this place. I pray, God, that the glory of the Lord would come and just envelop us today. And I pray, God, that we would have ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying, so that we would receive it and move towards that, Father. God, I pray that there'd be such a drawing and a stirring of our spirits today, Lord, that every one of us, Lord, that You would have our attention today by the Spirit of God. Lord, we are not here doing our religious duty. We are here because we love You and we desire a closer relationship with You. I pray that any spirit that is here other than the Holy Ghost will have to leave this building in the name of Jesus right now. Get out of this place. Father, may You move by Your precious Spirit today. Hallelujah. You are holy. You are holy and worthy of our adoration. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in Your sight, for You are my rock and my redeemer. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Hallelujah. I have felt a hindering spirit all morning, and you may not understand, but we have authority over that. And why put up with that nonsense, right? Let's just mind it, kick him out the door so the Spirit of God can move in this place. Hallelujah. When you came in, you didn't come into the Kiwanis or the Rotary Club. You came into church, right? Church is the called out ones. Amen. When we meet together, we expect the Spirit of God to be here. We expect Him. Where the Spirit of God is, there's movement. There's things that He's wanting to do and desiring to do. You have not arrived. Paul wrote the scriptures and says, not that I have obtained. I'm not perfect. I'm not there yet. But I push forward today. This whole service is about you pushing forward. You see, sometimes I think that we get really lazy in Zion. We get really lazy in church. And sometimes we just come out of an obligation. But you ought not come to church out of an obligation. You ought to come out of an expectancy. That I'm expecting to meet with a holy God. And then I'm expecting Him to do something for me. I'm going to preach before I preach. So my expectations are high today. Amen. So I want to just recover a little bit about what we talked about last week. Paul identified three characteristics that he said that you'll see in believers. There was more in that, but this is the main point that I felt like he was in the first six or seven verses. He says there's three characteristics. The first one was that believers, there's a worship spirit in us, and that we will worship in spirit and in truth. And every time I talk about this, I want to go into the church worship service and talk about it. But that it's so much more than that. Does that make sense? This is really not talking about what we do when we come together corporately. See, what we do in private is going to show up when we get here corporate. That's good. I'm telling you, that's from the Holy Ghost right there. See, if you have a hard time worshiping, it's probably because you haven't worshiped this week. But when you've worshiped all week long and then you come in together with people of the like same faith, buddy, it's an explosion of worship. The worship leader doesn't have to prime the pump and try to, come on, folks, come on, come on. Don't make me come down there. But when you come in ready, when you come in and, man, your spirit's full. Do you know I think more couples fight on the way to church than any other time during the week? Satan's in that, right? He's trying to divide you. He's trying to attack your mind. There's been times when we started off and I would lead song service and Tree would be playing the piano and we had fought that week, and I'd get, you know, the Bible says when there's there's a problem at home, it stops. It stops you hearing from God. There's been times when I've been trying to lead the people in worship and all I could remember is the ugly thing that I said to Treva. And I would look over at her and say, I'm sorry. Okay, Lord, is that good? Can we go on? Satan will attack you, but if you understand that worship is a weapon, if you understand that worship is going to take you someplace that nothing else takes you, it's going to bring you in. God says, I inhabit the praise of my people. Buddy, that's where I want to be, is where He is inhabiting. So if it worship that gets me, I'm getting on the chariot of worship and I'm going to ride into it, right? So let's begin to develop this worship in spirit and in truth. Last night as we was praying, Treva told you, people begin to quote the Word of God. Bam, bam, bam. What's that all about? It's a prayer through the Scripture. There's no better prayer than praying Scripture. They were worshiping and praying in truth. Right? Because thy word is truth. So he says that we're going to worship in spirit and truth. Worship is not mechanical. It's not a style. It's a heart that wants to desire to lift up the person of Christ. The second thing he says, we rejoice in Christ Jesus. He says this many times in Scripture. I think he does it because he knows that it's sometimes difficult to rejoice. Right? When Michelle called me, I think it was Tuesday morning, Wednesday morning, she said her house is on fire. And we put it out, and we ended in the prayer, and I said, Lord, we rejoice. You silly preacher. You don't rejoice when your house just burned down. Yeah, you do. When you're full of faith, you do. Because, you know, it's like those two little twin boys that they wanted a pony for Christmas, and they'd asked their dad for a pony for Christmas, and they went out, and they all they saw was a pile of hay. And one of the twins just went, hey, is that all you got us? And the other little boy just started jumping up. Where's the pony? Where's the pony? Where's the pony? He knew behind that hay there had to be a horse. Behind the darkness, I promise, light's coming. You get it? That's why we rejoice, because we don't walk by sight. We walk by faith. On the worst day of your life, when you got the worst report, you can be like Job. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Paul says in Thessalonians, he said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I'm going to say it. Rejoice. Twirl about. Be excited. Jesus is coming again. And even if he doesn't come in my lifestyle or in my lifetime, he is here for us right now. He is the way maker. Right? I read this scripture to you last week, but I don't think there's any better. Convicts me every time I read it. It's Habakkuk chapter 3. This is one of our prophets in the scripture. And this was his comment. He said, though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail and the field yields no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold and there's no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. But if that doesn't convict you, something's wrong. Because we don't live like that. I have all kinds of faith when my bank account is full. Right? I have faith when I'm well and when everything on the forecast looks good. But let the dark times come, buddy, and my soul starts sinking back. And Habakkuk says, I refuse to sink down. I don't care what the circumstances look like. I'm going to rejoice in Him because He is my Savior. The third thing Paul says, so he says we need to be worshipers. We need to rejoice, which is really just takes so much faith. Here's what I feel like the Lord told me today. Listen closely. If you're not rejoicing, you're probably complaining. I find there's little in between. Don't you love your pastor? Number three, he says, we have no confidence in the flesh. Paul saying this. Now, he just gave his pedigree. He just says, I'm this and I'm that, and I've done this for God and I've done this for God. And then he says, but I have no confidence in the flesh. Can I just say something? That is not the American church. The American church has all kinds of confidence in their flesh. Well, you can't pastor us unless you are a doctorate. Most boring people in the pulpits are doctors. Bless God. Sorry about that. I want a person that knows God, not knows about God. Church history is great, but let's find out what's going on right now. In Romans chapter 7, he says, for I know that in me, that's in this flesh, dwells no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. Paul saying, I'm having difficulty finding what pleases God. They that are in the flesh cannot please God. He continues his thought in verse 7. He says, what was gained, I count as loss. That Greek word is zema, and it means it's from the word picture there. The Greeks have a lot of word pictures. It's talking about a ship that's on the, like Jonah. Remember when they got in the middle of that storm and the ship was going, and what they do? They started lightening the load. They started throwing things off so they could survive themselves. That's the word picture here. Is there's some times in your life when you need to throw some things off the ship. You need to unload and unpack. You know, it seems like every so often I see new buildings being built, new storage buildings being built for our stuff. We fill up our garage and we fill up the shed behind our house, and then we got to go rent a place for our more stuff. You ever wondered that we're trying to put stuff in the place where God belongs? Time that we unload, have no confidence in the flesh. Folks, I got a feeling there's some rough waters ahead. What I'm trying to tell you today is we need to push into the Spirit of God so that He can take us through. So starting today, He says what things were gained to me, those things that I just told you in my pedigree, my resume, He said, I just count them for loss. Mm-mm. You know, here's what I think. A lot of times we do is we think, well, those losses, those things that I've done, you know, I'm just going to forget about those things. But that's not what Paul is saying entirely. He's saying my successes and my failures. What you did last year, he says, I count it as loss. Because there's something more important. I want to gain Christ. Now, I want you to get this. Because I'm pretty sure Paul is saved. Are you pretty sure about that? I'm pretty sure Paul is saved. And he keeps saying this. I want to gain Christ. Well, Paul, I thought you had Christ. He wants more. You see, I think the American church is failing because when we get people saved, we feel like we've arrived. Oh, bless God, they said a prayer. Well, bless God, they said a prayer. What does that do? Not a whole lot. Unless it stirs up something on the inside that makes them so hungry that they're willing to put their self aside and push towards Him. That's what Paul is teaching here. He says this, that I may gain Christ, number one. And number two, that I may have the righteousness of God in faith. He said, I've got a righteousness. Did you catch it? He said, I have kept the law since I've been born. And there is a righteousness that comes from the law. I've done all that. It ain't enough. He said, the only righteousness that I want is the righteousness that I obtained through faith. So I'm pushing. We've got a church that is content with their ticket being punched and going to heaven, while we live among a world that's dying and going to hell, and we don't seem to care a whole lot. I mean, I think he's saying, I want to gain Christ so that when I get squeezed, Jesus comes out. I want people to see something. I want them to be able to look at my life and says, you know what? I want to be like him. I promise you, there's not a whole lot of Christians in this world today where people of the world says, I want to be like that. Most of the time they're saying, I am like that. They ain't no different than I am. Yet they claim Christ. But I just see Jesus as being so rich, so big, just a massive amount of goodness that we just sort of take a little pinch. Well, I will just a little bit. Paul said, I don't want a little bit of Christ. I want the whole deal. Give me everything he's got. Oh my goodness, for a church that gets hungry for God again. There was a man in Scripture that is like that. His name was Moses. Before the Holy Spirit is given in the New Testament, there's a man in the Old Testament that had a relationship with God like none other. Psalms 103 verse 7 says, he made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. Can I say something? I think that we have a church. I'm not talking about Bridge of Hope. I'm talking about the church. I think we have a church worldwide that know the acts of God and that is seeking the hand of God, not the heart of God. God, how can you help me? How can you, you know, how can you make me rich? It's a perversion of the gospel. Exodus chapter 33, verse 7 through 15. I've got it on the screen for you. I think the screen and my words are going to read just a little bit different. I believe I typed this in my notes with the NIV Bible. I think. I'm not really sure what I did. So here goes. It says, now Moses used to take a tent and pitch it outside the camp some distance away, calling the tent of meeting. Anyone inquiring of the Lord would go to the tent of meetings outside the camp. And whenever Moses went out to the tent, all the people rose and stood at the entrance of their tents, watching Moses until he entered the tent. As Moses went into the tent, the pillar of cloud would come down and stay at the entrance while the Lord spoke with Moses. Whenever the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance to the tent, they all stood and worshiped, each at the entrance of their tent. The Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one spoke to a friend. Moses would return to the camp, but his young aide, Joshua, the son of Nun, did not leave the tent. Moses said to the Lord, you've been telling me, lead these people, but you have not let me know whom will send me. You have said, I know you by name, and you have found favor with me. If you're pleased with me, teach me your way so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people. You got to find the humor in that. I think Moses got irritated with these people sometimes. These ain't my people, Lord. These are your people. The Lord replied, my presence will go with you and I'll give you rest. Moses said, if your presence doesn't go with us, don't send us up from here. Moses had a relationship with God, buddy, where he spoke to him face to face. Literally, it says he took his tent and he put it away from the people. You know, one of the things that we could glean from that is we may be living too close to this world. We might need to pitch our tent just a little bit outside of the camp. See, in the camp, there's a lot of commotion. There's a lot of noise. A lot of exciting things happen. And as long as you have the noise from the world going, you're probably not going to hear the voice of God. Too much noise to get through to you. You need to quiet yourself. Get alone with the Lord so that you can get His instruction. Moses moves his tent out there and they label it the tent of meetings. That's where the Lord comes down. That cloud that led them by day and that fire by night, that cloud that would be over the tabernacle would come over his meeting place. And it says that Moses would go in there and that glory cloud, we would call that Shekinah, the Shekinah glory of Jesus, of God, would come down and just talk to Moses. And the people would just stand back at their tent. It said they would worship him, but they wouldn't go to him. They stood at their tent. I often think, is that not a picture of the church today? Man, why are we not running to it? Why did they say, count me in, I want to be in that place where he is? There was some fear there. They kept away from the presence of God. Oh, I like the way it makes me feel. I like knowing that he's here in the camp, but I don't want to get too close. Folks, I'm telling you, if I know anything, I know this. The Spirit of God is pulling us in. He said, you better come a little closer. You better be living close to me today. I wrote down three things that I felt like I was getting from this. Number one, am I willing to move my tent outside of the camp? Am I that person that will say, I'm going to separate myself? John says, don't be comfortable in this world. Don't get too comfortable in this world. Number two, am I willing to make my tent his dwelling place? You know what Paul said the tent was? This is nothing more than a tent. It's what Paul calls it in Corinthians, right? One of these days, I'm going to lay this tent down. But I'm going to tell you, there was a story in the Old Testament where they laid a tent down of Elisha, I believe it was. And years later, they were having a battle. And that tent of Elisha was laying in there in the tomb. And somebody got killed and they didn't have time to bury him. So they just grabbed him up and they threw him in there. Ain't got time for this. We're on the run. Just throw him in there. They didn't know Elisha's bones were there. But when they threw him in there and he hit the tent of Elisha, all of a sudden, bam, resurrection power. Woo! Now, I'm a believer in this, that what God does for one person, he'll do it for us. I can see some of you. I'm going to work Monday morning and I'm going to lay my hands on the sick and they're going to recover. And Jesus, I hope you are thinking that. The Israelites stayed in their tent and they said, we're going to let Moses seek God. Let him do it. And then if I have a question, I just go to Moses. Oh, don't you want it yourself? Come on. Aren't you hungry for a move of God? Paul said this, he said, I want to know him. Oh, buddy, that knowing him is intimate. That's an intimacy. I want to know Christ. And he says, he gives three things. He said, I want to know the power of the resurrection. And every church member says, yes, I do. Sign me up for that power thing. You know, we want to lay our hands on the sick. We want to speak to people and have the words of wisdom of Christ coming out of our mouth. And that's sort of where we stop. If we were writing this verse, we'd only put one thing. I want to know the power. I want to know the power of God. But Paul doesn't stop there. He says, number two, I want a fellowship with his suffering. No, no, don't sign me up on that one. I'm not into suffering. I'm a little bit of a sissy. I don't like to get my hands dirty. Isn't that a shame? I don't want to stink. I said, well, you done missed that one, Pastor. You know, when you get married, you say some words like this, for good and bad. Good times, bad times. In sickness and in health. It's probably the closest we get to a covenant on earth that Christ is calling us to. And so I just feel the Spirit of God saying, will you commit to the suffering? Do you love him enough that says, if his name is defiled, I feel the shame. I feel the abuse. I want to know him. I don't want to just know about the power of God. I want to know when he is rejected. I want to feel the things that he has felt. The fellowship of his suffering. And then the third thing is, he said, I want to know the power. I want to know the fellowship. And he says, being conformed to his death. Romans 12, he talks about us being transformed by the renewing of our mind. So that we're not conformed to this world. The world is putting a lot of pressure on the church today. Right? See, you guys need to think the way we think. If you think something different than the world thinks, they're calling you wrong. They're saying you're narrow-minded and you're a hater. An extremist. But I find that Jesus doesn't think like the world thinks. And he's after my thoughts. And he wants to transform me so I'm not conformed to the world, but I'm conformed to him. In other words, you're a hunk of clay in the hands of God. And God is molding you and fashioning you into something mighty and something great. And I find that sometimes within myself, I'm fighting that. Ow, that hurts. God, stop it. Hey, I'm used to that habit, God. Don't take that habit away from me. He says, boy, you got to conform. Conform to what? Conform to me. Are you willing to be made like Christ? Can you honestly say, God, even though it costs me, even though it hurts this flesh, I say, come on, mold me into the image of Christ. Work this garbage out of me. Work this stinking thinking. Work that stuff out so that I can glorify Jesus. 12 people changed the world. Look around this church. Don't you think there's enough people here that we could change Paris? If we didn't look like them, if we didn't act like them, if we gave them a picture, not of how great we are, but how much he loves them. We are not to stand in judgment, we're to stand in the image of Christ, which is love and compassion. Buddy, I'm telling you, people are drawn to that. They're not drawn much to judgment. To this better than you attitude. But they're drawn to what I'm talking about. Then he ends this thing and he says, see, I'm pressing towards the goal. I'm pressing towards the goal. What goal? This is, I think, probably one of the most important lines in this scripture. I'm pressing towards that goal that Jesus grabbed hold of for me. You see, when I read this scripture, I see Christ like this. Treva's the goal and Terry's the problem. I mean, the child. And Jesus grabs hold of the goal and grabs hold of Terry and he's bringing them together. You know, God's got a plan for your life. God's got a destiny that's far greater than what you can imagine. And the Bible says that He laid hold of that. He laid hold of that He's called you to be. But the only way you're going to get to it is when you connect with Him. I push towards the goal of the high calling of God. That goal that He has laid hold of for me. I want you to see that picture. I think the cross does a pretty good picture. I think when Jesus was on the cross, He had His arms outstruck. And I believe one arm was connecting to God and the other arm was connecting to us. He is the way maker. He's the only way to come to God. He says, the only way we're going to obtain our destination, our destiny, is when we lay hold of Jesus Christ. And then I love this. He says, one thing I do, and then he lists three things. One thing I do, I forget those things that are behind me. I reach forward to those things ahead, and I press. I press towards the goal of the prize of the upward call of God. And I highlighted this one word, in Christ Jesus. See, your goal, you're not going to find outside of Christ. You're going to find it in Christ. So he says, this one thing I do, I got to forget some of the past. Satan loves to throw your past up to you. Right? Your past failures. Well, I probably can never be the man of God that He wants me to be because I used to do this. Well, who cares what you used to do? I think Scripture said you're a new creature in Christ Jesus. And the old is gone and the new has come. But that is absolutely 100% correct. I don't know how to say this. It's correct, but it's not workable until you get it. Does that make sense? Until you realize, yes, I used to be a drunk, but I'm not a drunk anymore. I'm a new creature in Christ. Now Satan's going to keep pouncing you with this stuff. Oh, you used to do this. You used to do that. You were the biggest whatever in this county. You're right, devil, I did. Isn't God great? Because I ain't like that no more. I forget those things. I may even have to forget some of the successes that I had because they were successes of the world. But he says, I forget that and I'm reaching. I'm reaching out. But the best word on this is the word press. You know what I think when I think? I see that line in the football game. Those big old 300-pound guys that are up there right in the front. And they're just looking their opponent. And the most important guy is behind them, the guy with the ball. But that guy with the ball can't do anything if these guys don't do their job. And they said, I press. Buddy, these guys put everything they've got into 30 seconds. Every time there's a play, they are giving it all. And if they don't, somebody's going to slip through the line and club that quarterback. That quarterback's only as good as that front line. Here's where we blow it. Christians have lost our press. We just think, well, it's all about Jesus. And it is. Well, if Jesus wants me to be a good-natured person, He'll make me a good-natured person. But you ornery. No, I think you're going to have to give a little. I think you're going to have to push in. Forget the past. Reach out and grab hold of the promise. And then let's push. Let's press. Let's do something for God as we push as one unit, as we push forward. Isn't that wonderful? What can we do in this town if we have a church that's willing to press? What will God do in your life if you quit being lazy spiritually? Some of the hardest workers in this life are some of the laziest spiritual people I've ever seen. Well, bless God, I know I'm going to heaven. Yeah, well, what have you done for Christ? Nothing. Who are you taking with? No one. Why? I work 70 hours a week. What's that getting you? You ever think sometimes our priorities might be just a little bit skewed? You know how difficult it is just to get people to church for an hour and a half service? I'm so sick of begging people. Come to church. Please come to church. It's really good for you. There was a revival in the early 90s in Pensacola, Florida. People used to line up 7-8 hours before the doors would open. They would not unlock the doors. Service started at 7. They wouldn't unlock the doors till 5 o'clock. People would be there at 10, 11 o'clock just to make sure they could get in and get a seat. I'm telling you, where the Spirit of the Lord is and where the fire is burning, people will come. And when you get a church that's pressing in, you're going to have some fire. Where God is moving, people are willing to spend some time to get there. They come from all over the world for this revival. This revival wasn't a week. I think it lasted 3 to 5 years. It influenced the world. I went, and there were a lot of strange stuff happening in that revival. And I'm a little bit cynical. So I found the cop in the back of the church, because they had to have cops there to control the crowd. And I said, you've been in this thing a while? And he said, yes, I have. And I said, can you answer a question for me? He said, sure, I'll try. And I'm talking to the policeman. I said, is your crime going down in this city? Because I believe when people get saved, they'll stop stealing from each other. They'll stop doing the bad stuff. He said, actually, it is going down by quite a bit. I said, okay, I believe we got a revival. I'm not impressed with people rolling on the floors or barking like a dog. That's a little bit nonsense as far as I am concerned. But buddy, when the Holy Ghost gets there, I want to be there too. When it's genuine. And I want a genuine move of God. In Paris, Tennessee, but I want it for Courtney. I want it for Ricky. I want it for Brandy. The rest of you don't care about. But those, no. I ain't got time to say everybody's name, okay? It's not romper room. I see this and I see this. You get what I'm saying? I want to see a genuine move of God in your life. So that when we get together, that glory cloud, I believe this still happens, folks. I believe that glory cloud will still settle in among us. Amen. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we come to worship and we couldn't even see each other? Man, it's like there's a haze in here. Bless the Lord, just throw your... I'm telling too many stories, I know. Then my preacher when I grew up, Brother Henley, when he got baptized in the Holy Spirit, he said... He would just walk around his house and he would do this. And he said, when I did this, he said, it felt like I was putting my hands up into warm water. He said, I called my mom and he said, Mom, you got to come over here. She had a broken leg. She was in a cast. And he said, Mama, he said, lift your hands up. And she lifted her hands and she said, oh, wow. She went home and cut her cast off. Because she knew she'd been in the presence of God and God would heal her. I'm telling you folks, there are things that we have never seen that God was willing to reveal. but we are not pressing in. You got to turn the stinking TV off. You got to turn off the things of this world. And there's got to be a pressure in you. Am I willing to push? Stand with me if you would. Here's what I feel like the Lord has given me to close this. If you want to reaffirm your commitment to Jesus, I want you to come and stand up here. You're not getting saved. If you need to get saved, you come and stand right here in the middle, and I'll come down and talk to you. But to those that are saved, have trusted their life for Jesus, if the Spirit of God has kindled a bit of a fire in you today, and you feel in your spirit that I need to reaffirm my walk with Him, I want you to come down and just stand here. How great Thou art, how great Thou art, then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art, then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art. I'm going to ask you, if you're standing down here, would you take a communion cup? What you're doing is you're going to ask you to take a vow before the Lord. Shelly, you want to reach up and grab one? Larry, would you just do that for me? Just make sure everybody gets one. Again, this is a sign of your commitment to the Lord. A sign that you're not playing games. I'm serious about my walk with Him. And I'm willing to say goodbye to some things in my life. Are you willing? Are you willing to be changed today? Man, if you want to turn that over and take the little bread out. Today in Sunday school, we're studying the book of John, where Jesus spoke to the people. And He said, I am the bread of life. John is the only one that records that, where he says, I am. 7 times, I am. I am this. I am that. But the very first one is John 6:35. I am the bread of life. In other words, I am what sustains you. Folks, listen to me up here. You won't amount to anything outside of Christ. Now, I'm not talking about the world becoming great. You may have a lot of zeal. You may have a lot of things. I'm talking spiritually. You can't do it without Him. Amen. He is what will sustain you. And this is, I think, some of the things that we have left off. We are starving to death. The American church is starving to death because we refuse to feed ourselves. We're trying to eat one meal a week and make it. You can't do it. You've got to feed yourself. Jesus' body was broken so that your body could be healed. Father God, I thank You, Lord, that You are the bread of life. You are the God that sustains us. Lord, as we stand here today, these folks that have felt the Spirit of God pushing them just a little bit, that they would say, I need to reconfirm my commitment to Christ. Today, Lord, we're going to take a solemn vow, the same one that You did with Your disciples. And we're going to recognize the work that was done on the cross and how it affects us deeply. Father, we ask that you forgive us of our sin. Forgive us of our laziness. Forgive us of bad priorities where we put other things in front of you. Would you forgive us of those things today? Father, we pray, Lord, right now that your body which was broken would heal their bodies. And Lord, would correct the thinking of our minds. In Jesus' name we pray. Let's take this together. The other side of that cup is a little bit of grape juice, which is representative of the blood of Christ, which was poured out for you. There's forgiveness in the blood. Thank you, Jesus. You know, it's in the blood that we receive our DNA, that the oxygen travels to every cell in our body through the blood. The blood is so important. Without the blood, when the blood stops flowing, you're dead. Right? You die. Thank God for the blood. Amen. Thank God for the blood. Jesus, I pray right now that the DNA of the Father would come down and flow through this blood and bring us a renewed spirit and bring us a militant spirit that we're willing to push and we're willing to press in to obtain the high calling of God. God, we're tired of being a lazy church. I pray, God, right now, make us movers and shakers through the blood of Christ. Renew us in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take it together. Hallelujah. Let's sing, I Exalt Thee. Hallelujah.
For thou, O Lord, our God, above all the earth, thou art exalted.
Come on, let's just worship. Hallelujah. You did your part, and let the Spirit of God do his part. Hallelujah. Touch us, Jesus. Touch us, Jesus. Hallelujah. Blessed be your name. Amen, Brother Denny. Where's Brother Denny? There he is.
Friday is our day for Helping Hand, so give us the opportunity to be involved in our community. That'd be great. Saturday is the men's breakfast. If you've never been to the men's breakfast, I highly encourage you to come. It's a great time of fellowship and really good food, especially when Johnny Brown does the cooking. So we'll be good. Don't forget also, let me see what else. Oh, next Sunday is the membership class. So if you're not officially a member yet and you want to be, then I suggest you come at 9 o'clock next Sunday in the fellowship hall back there and learn kind of all the nitty-gritty stuff of Bridge of Hope so you can decide if you want to be lock in with us or not. And then also, Carla, the youth are having a, what is it? Next Sunday at 2:30. So if you have teenagers, if you are a teenager, invite your friends from school, come to church. 2:30 next Sunday, all the youth will be here and be great. Raise your hand, receive the Lord's blessing. May the Lord bless you and may He keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift His countenance upon you and give you peace. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Go in peace and serve the Lord. God bless.